The biggest thing was, you know, I have two ears and one mouth, so I should listen more than I speak. There's a place for speaking, but I think actions and listening to people really is important.
As an employer, your business depends on your staff. They are the backbone of your company. But because you face unique challenges managing your team, you need to have the right resources. On this podcast, industry expert Alex Atwood tackles it all so you don't have to.
Today, we're talking to Tom Rakoski, a successful entrepreneur and restaurant specialist who these days is working at the Maryland Small Business Development Center. What Tom has is over 30 years of experience working in, managing, owning, and consulting exceptional restaurants and hospitality businesses. Tom helps his clients develop extraordinary teams, drive revenue growth, and bring in customers even in the most challenging times and markets, which we've all experienced here in the past 12 to 18 months. Tom's also an established chef in his own right. He's won the Taste of Arlington's Fan Favorite Award. I want to hear all about that and how you won that. And he's creating recipes and menus for over 20 restaurants and events. Welcome, Tom, to the show. So, Tom, tell me
Thanks
about-
Thanks for having me, Alex. Really do appreciate it.
Absolutely. So tell me about your leadership journey. What drove you from working as a GM with a large local restaurant chain like Great American Restaurants to starting your own restaurant and your own hospitality business?
I tell you, it's something that was always in the back of my mind, you know, and what really put it for me was working at Great American Restaurants. You know, part of that leadership role that the owners had was you got to actually work with some of the owners. They were always around. And, you know, they looked at them as human beings and meaning that, wow, if they can do it, I can do it. And I really liked what they were doing and how they were doing it. And their processes and procedures were just spot on. And I just said, hey, why don't we do this in a not in a full service restaurant, which was what they had at the time, but doing it, you know, a step down in what we call a QSR, a quick service restaurant. And it just, you know, it all came together with a burger concept. Big Buns Gourmet Grill was born. And now it's called Damn Good Burger Company. And it worked. So that was what did it for me. My motivation was seeing someone else do it.
You almost had like a mentorship or an apprenticeship as an entrepreneur with a larger company to understand infrastructure and how to build teams and things like that. Does that sound accurate?
100% accurate. And there's a funny twist to that because they were, you know, Great American Restaurants is a great restaurant, well recognized in the industry, and their processes and procedures are down to the second, to the penny. And it was something at first that I regretted, and I wanted to run my restaurants a little looser. And, you know, it was a quick lesson that you have to have processes in place. People have to have expectations. So it was both a blessing and, you know, in disguise that I learned the hard way, but it was very interesting to go through that process.
Beautiful. So what did you think it was going to be like when you started your own business? And what was it actually like? You know, we all have these dreams of, you know, being an entrepreneur and being able to set our own schedules and all these myths, I call them myths, that you think of when you're going to have your own establishment. And then you actually get into the day-to-day of actually running it. So what was it like? You know, what was your dream? And then where was like, tell me how like reality set in.
Absolutely. Yeah. So my vision, like when I thought about, you know, building a company and looking 5-10 years down the road, it was, you know, standing at the edge of the counter and just chit-chatting with your customers and not really being in the daily grind anymore, you know, so to speak. And I really just thought you kind of just get it built and, you know, what's that thing? If you build it, they will come. And it just was nothing even close to that. It was really, you know, the easy part for me was the cooking, was the talking to the guest, was just the hanging out. The hard part for me was the nuts and bolts, were the details, were the putting recipe cards together, you know, making sure that every bill is paid on time, that you have insurance, that you have backup plans, that basically that you have processes in place that, you know, when you walk away, that the system still runs. And that was probably, you know, the thing that, and I teach it today, is like, just have all these plans ready to go. And if it's not your forte, like if you're not a details person, if you're not an accountant person, hire someone, you know, figure out what you're worth and outsource it.
How is your leadership style evolved from having a set policy or a set sort of, you know, a company that has lots and lots of processes down to starting your own business, building those processes, and now suddenly having to inject the leadership and management style into your teams? Tell me a little bit about how that evolved between going from Great American Restaurants to your own business.
Yeah, well, starting at, you know, coming from Great American Restaurants, again, I'll say I wasn't probably the person who had, I wasn't into rules and regulations for every single detail. So, you know, and the second you let one thing go down, that's the new standard. So even though you may say, hey, we have the highest standards, the second you allow, you know, one person to do it differently or one person to not the extra step, well, that's the new standard. So, you know, I had to really go back. And I tell you that probably the biggest thing that I did years later was to make a concrete vision or what's called, you know, a mission statement. And I always made it about the mission. I always made it about bringing value and not necessarily about the individual because, you know, individuals always have the reasons why they do things a certain way or why they couldn't get to work on time or why they just exceeded everyone's expectations. And I became a big why person. Why are they there? Why is the guest there? And once I started figuring out the why, because everybody's why is different and my why was different than my employees' whys. And once we started working together and I have, you know, a lot of policies that came about was with working with the employees and bringing it, because if you can get them to buy in on actually putting a policy down on a piece of paper, you know, they're going to be your cheerleaders. They're going to do it. And then B, they have the why behind it. You know, this is why we're doing it. And it makes sense to everybody. So I tell people, man, I don't like all the rules that I invented. I don't like all the rules that we as a community invented, but they exist for a reason. And at the end of the day, we got to make profits. We got to put money into people's pockets. We got to pay people. And that's not a bad thing. You know, it brings a lot of joy to a lot of people. So, you know, I hope that answers the question, but that was kind of the evolution was really, instead of, we knew what we were doing. We were selling burgers. That was easy, but we didn't know why we were doing it. And again, you know, to go back, once we figured out that why and we moved on, it was easy. It became very easy to be successful.
The why. I love that. The why. That really gets into the world of, you know, why you're doing it. And it gets into a need, right? There's a need there that you have, that the business has, that the person who's actually executing whatever needs to be executed, whether it's grilling a burger, whether it's serving a guest, if they really understand what need they're fulfilling, which, like you said, is answered through that question, why, then you start to put a real mission behind it. So that's brilliant. And thank you for that. So where was the turning point where you felt that you were started to win as a business leader? I'm sure it was overwhelming at first, setting up all of these rules when you're not necessarily a rule guy. So at what point in the journey did you feel like, you know, I'm really winning here. I'm really getting this. I'm getting the whys, and this is making a lot of sense. I made the right choice.
Yeah, it was really when, I think it was after 3 years, and then we had the financial crisis in 2008, I want to say, and I was just beat. I was down. I was down to my last dollar, and I really didn't think I was going to make it. And then it was just taking that step back, and it was someone says, you know, hey, Tom, you got to work on your business, not in your business. And you know, not to say you can't be inside the building, but I started looking at financials. I started looking at, you know, how we're training people. I started asking why. Why am I getting up every morning, dragging myself in here if I'm not going to enjoy it? And so I figured out, you know, what that purpose was. And again, that was probably 3 years and then, you know, evolved to 5 years and then completely changed 3 years after that as we opened our second location. And it just started getting exciting. It's hard to put a pin, but when it was started being fun again, and again, I really think I started focusing on the why again for me, which was I loved bringing joy to people, instant gratification, seeing smiles on people's faces. And the more people I could do that for, whether they were internal guests, you know, the employees or the external guests, it just jazzed me up. And, you know, my second thing I think was to be an inspiration to people who wanted to start their own business. And, you know, that was fulfilling to see people, you know, leave or stay or do their own thing or try to do a t-shirt company, you know, and give them that same kind of, hey, if Tom can open up a burger shop, I can sell t-shirts. So that was really the evolution. And it still evolves. I'm still trying to figure out my why every day.
Yeah. It's an ongoing process, right?
100%. Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah. You mentioned the concept, which I think is brilliant, of being a leader and a follower, right? And so tell me and whoever might be watching, listening to the show, what have you learned from, you know, employees, maybe whether they're hourly workers on the line or any other managers that you've employed or work with? What are some key learnings that you took away from that, being a leader in your organization?
I think the biggest thing was, you know, I have two ears and one mouth, so I should listen more than I speak. there's a place for speaking, but I think actions and listening to people really is important. And, you know, again, it was some of these are cultural issues. We had, you know, a very diverse workforce in the restaurant industry, and just learning about different cultures and learning about how people do things differently, even in their home settings, how, you know, their celebrations are different than mine, but just as important. And I've really learned to like soccer too, which was a big, but even then, you know, it was, you know, I never forget. It was, I don't know what year it was we were in, but you know, the World Cup was on and we decided as a company, why don't we close? We were closing for Super Bowl, right? And why don't we close for this World Cup game? Because everybody wants to enjoy it. And that was, and so just giving people a break and giving and letting people enjoy that aspect of the job was super important because, you know, you're the teacher and you're the student to every day because everyone has life experiences and everyone, you know, views the world in their eyes and through their experiences. And to take that step back and listen to them, it really helps you understand why they do things a certain way. And, you know, I only know it from my eyes. So, you know, I could give you 100 of examples of recipe procedures have changed, how, you know, we've done pricing differently. We've ordered from different companies. We've, instead of making the burgers at nighttime, we brought people in early in the morning. And all these were changes from just listening to people and saying, you know, why don't we do this now? Because nothing, no one's here. And I would love to come in. And now I get to spend the rest of my day with my kids. So it's really just listening and finding out their why, because your why and their why will never be the same. And when you can bring those two circles together and have that happy place in the middle, I think that's where the true juice and success comes.
Yes. So you can't take broad strokes necessarily and just assume that what motivates you is going to automatically motivate your teams, right? You have to actually listen. You have to actually learn about them, right? As a person, I had somebody I spoke with on an earlier podcast that said, you could give someone a boat, like if you happen to know someone really wants to take their kids to Disney World, well, you could give them a, I don't know, $500, maybe $1,000 bonus to be able to do that. Or you could buy them an actual package to Disney World. Now, the cost is going to be about the same, right? But the key here is that now when they receive that, there's a different relatedness to what you've actually given them. You've actually taken time to listen to know that, hey, this person wanted to take his or her kids to Disney World, and you actually bought that. And it's almost more of a connectedness and that you have with someone aside from just making the assumption that everyone's driven by money. As we all know as entrepreneurs, including ourselves, it's not always the case, right?
It's a start, but it's never the end game. I don't know what president said it, but it was, they said that the equal treatment of unequals, which is every one of your employees is unequal, right? So the equal treatment of unequals is ludicrous, is silly. Don't even try to do it. And when you think about it, it makes a lot of sense because, you know, being an entrepreneur owner and having to manage people is probably the hardest thing that anyone can do in life because you truly have to put your ego in your back pocket and really just say, you know, why are you here? And money's a reason, but it's probably low on the totem pole. And it's, I think it ties in with value, bringing value to their life and then having them bring value to your life. And that's why just listening to them and like, you know, let's say, for instance, there was a bunch of my employees were from El Salvador and this thing called a pupusa, which I never heard of, was it's like their street food. And just to allow, you know, one day we just go get a flat top and you could do this. I said, well, what do we need? We need mozzarella cheese and we need corn flour. Okay, I can go buy those. So we bought it and they were so happy to make it because then someone made avocado sauce, someone made this sauce. And just to see their excitement that, you know, and then I was enjoying this food. And we're like, yeah, then we ended up having pupusa week, you know, or every day of the week or every one day out of the month, we made pupusas. And it was really a lot of fun. And then, you know, when other cultures came into, you know, there was a lady from Morocco and then she introduced food. So it ended up being this, you know, we're in the restaurant business. This is what we do for a living. Food is, you know, family. So to have them bring that into it and, you know, buy the ingredients and let them do it, it was super fun. It made people happy.
Wow. That is awesome. That's actually a perfect example of how you learned and were able to adapt based on the why and the needs of the employees. So thank you. So let's pivot a little bit because you accomplished every entrepreneur's dream. You sold your business, right?
Correct.
So what was the biggest change that you faced when that happened?
just have this time. And I'll never forget this because I was doing some things shortly after I sold the business. And then I stayed on with the company. I wanted to make sure the employees were all set up. And then once that transaction or transition happened, I left the company that bought us. And I'm just sitting at the house. I said, man, I'm going to take a month off and I'm just going to do stuff that I've been putting aside. And I started doing things. And most of them ended up being basic things, getting a haircut, going to the doctor. And I looked at my wife and I go, Emily, how did I ever do all this stuff while I was working 7 days a week? And she just kind of paused and looked at me and gave you one of those faces that only a wife can. She just said, you didn't. And I said, wow, you know? So it's again, you got to just take that. I try to teach entrepreneurs and businesses that I, you know, counsel with now is just, you got to schedule time for you. And it's super important because the payoffs are huge.
Absolutely. Well, excellent. Congratulations for accomplishing that. So now here you are. So you're a consultant, you're working for the Small Business Development Center. Your job literally is to counsel, to coach, to somewhat mentor and to guide those looking to start their own businesses and those looking to become entrepreneurs and go on this journey that we're discussing. So what do you find is some of the advice that you find yourself giving more and more often? And then to that, are there any things that you want to kind of put out there right now to people that are looking to either start their own business, where their head should be at, or if they've already started their own business and they're considering quitting or they're saying, hey, what I thought what this was going to be like is not actually what this is. So tell me that kind of two-part question, right? What advice are you find yourself giving a lot now that you could also, you know, tell someone who may be watching or listening to this who wants to start their own business? And secondly, if somebody's already done it and they're in that dark time that we all go through, what advice do you have to give to them?
Yeah, to the first question, I think it's really just to, again, and I've said this several times, is look at working on your business, not in your business. And absolutely 100%. Know your why and have that mission statement and always be going towards that. Because in the worst of times, you know, as we just went through, what I'm finding is the companies that had mission, that had purpose are much more successful, are coming out of this on, you know, better than they went into it. And so just to really stick to your gun, so to speak, on what you are, your why and your mission. And then it is also, you know, every entrepreneur that I deal with knows what to do. And I just have to gently nudge them or present the facts in a way that they, you know, it's an aha moment. Mm. And it's really, once they get through that and really showing that there's no one else, a lot of people will help you, but no one else is going to do the work to get to your why. So you need to just sit down and do it. And I think once people schedule that time and go through, you know, all the details, it starts to happen for them. And they feel, I think you can almost sense it because they feel like they're in control again, especially with dealing financials. Even if they're going the wrong way with financials, once they look at them and understand them and we do this together, you see that go, oh, so if I just cut this back, or hey, if I just change this price, or if I just add this to my advertising dollar and here's the return on investment. And then you just see that then the wheels start going again and they start coming out of that. So I think it's the answers to both people, the people who are in the darkest times, is go back, do a little, close your eyes. And like the first question you asked me is like, where did you see yourself as an entrepreneur? Where do you see yourself in 5 years and how do you get there? Mine's a great thing. It's got to have an end. It's got to have a goal. Give it a goal and it'll get there. So set that goal, and you know, that goal may be a huge thing, and just chunk it. What can you do for 15 minutes every day, then an hour every day, to slowly pick away, you know, at getting that business? And I just did a webinar today about how to open a restaurant, and we literally just broke it down into a 12-month time period and just said, this is how you chunk it. You do this one day one. And then you do this. And as this happens, you know, 6 months in, it's like, holy cow, I almost got a restaurant. So it's just slowing down, taking a step back, chunking what you're doing. And basically, you know, listen to your own crap that's coming out of your mouth. That's going to be, you know, start listening to yourself because you truly know what to do.
That is brilliant. Well, thank you. This advice, this conversation was truly enlightening. I have one last question I'm going to try with you. Have you ever heard of What's Your Word?
What's my word? Tequila. My word's tequila.
I love it. Mine's vodka club soda because I got to watch my girly finger. Okay. So this is basically a deck of cards, totally random. This is a good one. I don't know if you can read that. How do you show love to others? And we'll wrap it with that. So how do you show love to others?
I think I show love to others by allowing them to be who they are and giving them space. And again, you know, at this point in my life, I've really learned to listen because people are telling you, you know, and sharing with you all kinds of important stuff. And it's just stopping to listen to them and not thinking about a rebuttal, not thinking about one-upping their story, just accepting that story, repeat something back to them and say, wow, you know, I really like the fact that you were able to go fishing the other day. That's so cool. And then there's a, you know, you're building trust. So I think love is just, you know, allowing people to be themselves and accepting them for who they are and, you know, gently nudge them when you know that they could need help because not everyone asks for help in the same way.
You, my friend, are a true leader. The folks that reach out to the Maryland Small Business Development Center are truly lucky to have you as a potential mentor and someone to be able to give advice and to coach them along the way. If somebody wanted to get in touch with you who's watching this video or listening to the podcast, how would they do that?
Absolutely. My email, and I'm going to go slow here, is my name. So first letter T, last RACOSKY, and that's at UMD, University of Maryland. So umd.edu. So TRACOSKY at umd.edu. And that's, or, you know, you could find me on LinkedIn or Instagram. You can always DM me there, or you could just go to the SBDC website. And they'll eventually link up with me.
Well, thank you so much for your time today, Tom. It was a brilliant conversation. I learned a lot out of it. And I'm sure people that listen to the show or watch the show learned just as much. Thank you so much for your time, Tom. And we'll talk to you soon.
Oh, thank you for your time, man. I appreciate and learn a lot from you every single time we talk. Thank you.
Absolutely.
Thank you for tuning in to Off the Clock. Don't miss next week's tips around innovation and HR. Subscribe to the show. You can catch us on YouTube, Apple, iHeart, Stitcher, Spotify, wherever you listen to podcasts. Until next time, be kind and thrive.